Welcome to our evening service tonight. We're going to begin with number 244. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, He offers free to all. Let's stand, please, as we worship. For a moment and think about the words of verse 4 and 5. Believing souls, rejoicing, go. There shall to you be given a glorious foretaste here below of endless life in heaven, of victory now over Satan's power. Let all his ransom sing and triumph in the dying hour through Christ the Lord and King. We have been a little bit slow. We're a bit like a grinding machine trying to get this particular hymn going. The tune may not be quite so familiar. So we're going to lift it up on these final two verses, and we now have a good handle on this. Let's praise the Lord with these words. Let's bow before the Lord again tonight in prayer, committing our evening service now to Him. Father, we come to commence our service as we do so, singing of the theme of Calvary, singing of the wondrous grace and love that drew salvation's plan for us, Lord, in the counsel of eternity. We step back in great wonder, Lord, to try and comprehend what that means and of what it has brought to us, Father, of your great, incomprehensible love to these souls of ours. Help us, we pray, to meditate and to dwell, to think upon this great theme constantly. And Lord, as we think on the words of 1 John 3:1, and as we apply that to our lives, and that we think too about the time around the communion table this morning, and again our thoughts drawn back to the wonder of sovereign grace and of the dying love of our Lord Jesus and of all that he suffered there on our account. It is wonderful, Lord, beyond our explanation. I pray that for anyone here who does not know the Lord today, perhaps listening online, that, Lord, that great love would grasp their heart. And, Father, you would bring them to the foot of the cross to cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And they would taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, Father, work deeply in every one of our hearts tonight, we pray, for each one of us who testify of knowing Christ, that our faith would be strengthened, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. We would pray as Paul did, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Lord, teach us what that means in our own life, we pray. We commit our evening service, Lord, into your hand. We pray that as we sing and pray and read the scripture, and as the word is open to our hearts, it would be stamped upon our soul. As the Lord will not be like those who just allow words to go in one ear and out the other, but, dear Father, we would be strengthened with might in the inner man, that we would grow daily in the knowledge and grace, and our understanding would be expanded, and our desire to serve Christ would grow daily. And, Lord, you would make of us soul winners. We pray that the people we come in contact with, sometimes just in casual conversation, that the conversation would be turned, Lord, and that a door would be opened, a great door and effectual, as the apostle prayed, and that we would enter in and embrace the moment, embracing the opportunities, and that our souls would be rejoicing. That, Lord, you would make use of us in your kingdom. Bless our congregation. Bless every ministry going on from this place. Bless every form of outreach among our boys and girls in Sunday school here, our Bible classes, the work going out through the internet, through sermon audio, the electronic sign we have that's scrolling the Word of God 24 hours a day to those who walk by and drive past. We pray for the ministry of Whitfield, our day school, and that, Lord, you would bless this largest of our ministries, being with all the teaching staff and administration and our students and parents, all of our families. Lord, keep the devil away, we pray. Do not allow him to bring his evil in that ministry. But ever, Lord, be watchful. May the wall of fire be very high of protection around our ministry, and that the work that is being done to invest in the lives of young people, pouring out the Word of God, that you would help, Lord, and multiply that witness. Remember our missionaries tonight. We pray for blessing upon them. We pray that again Satan would be defeated in his attempts to undermine their work. We think, Lord, of the work specifically in Mexico and the ordination of those three men who have been set apart for the advancing of that work. Bless Brother Jason Boyle as he heads up that ministry. And bless, we pray, Brother Lalo Peña in Cordoba and Ramon Sosa in Dominican Republic. Lord, especially we pray for our brother in that island that is torn with much distress. We know that the problems of Haiti can very easily spill over into Dominican. Lord, put a protection around Brother Ramon Sosa. Bless his ministry, and may they multiply and grow and see souls saved and people built up in their most holy faith. Remember the work in Jamaica, Brother Richard Craig, and strengthen him and bless and cause that fellowship to grow. And Lord, when we think of our missionaries, we pray for home missions and all of our own congregations and churches and the places that don't have under shepherds tonight. Lord, bring along the right men, the right families to be involved and to be engaged. And let us see, Lord, the works going forward and not the closing, but rather the opening of ministries and works. Lord, we come to pray tonight upon the promise and the word that you have said, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest field. O God, raise up, we ask, young men that are touched by the Spirit of God with a burden to serve Christ and his kingdom, called and separated from the world and given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are thankful for Brother Simon and for the calling you've placed upon him. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless your servant as he is not well health-wise at the moment, but strengthen him, bring him through, help him in his studies, help him in the ministry and work that he is doing, and just enable him and lead him forward, Lord, in the way that you would have him to go. We're thankful for every person who's involved in the work of God, whether it's in a public, open fashion or perhaps more behind the scenes working. Every servant is valuable, Lord, and every one is important. And I pray that we will all be strengthening one another's hands. We'll all be joined together in the bond of peace and unity. And you would help us to encourage and not to be a discourager in any way. Lord, hear our prayers as we gather shortly to go to Greenville, South Carolina for our special prayer time, ministers and elders and our presbytery meetings. Lord, these are important times, and I pray, Father, for your blessing upon everyone who will be involved, and keep back again the evil one from fulfilling his purpose and intention. Lord, sanctify your church and bless us all, we pray, that we will be able to go forward and onward and upward with Christ. Dear Lord, remember those who are grieving tonight, the loss of loved ones. We again bring our sister Tabitha before you tonight in the loss of her mom. And as she's back in India, undertake for her, Lord, encourage her soul. And may she know the peace of God in her heart. We pray again for our sister Joan and the loss of her nephew, that you would bless her at this time. Remember those who are sick and set aside because of bodily weakness or some serious matters of health. Lord, touch their bodies, we pray, and bless them tonight. So hear us and cause us to rejoice. Help us as we continue in our praising, for we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Number 357, as we continue to serve the Lord, and well, let this be the testimony of our heart. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. I trust that will be our testimony tonight. Standing to sing. want to read tonight in our congregational section from 1 John chapter 4. We read this morning from the third chapter of this epistle. We're going to be turning back there a little bit later, but we're reading at chapter 4 at this time. First John, chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. When you look at and meditate and read a portion of Scripture like this, well, there is so much simple gospel truth contained here. What a blessing it is to dwell on this word and to have it spoken so clearly to us about who the Lord is and about the fact of his nature and his being. Well, we can be encouraged, and it would be good to meditate on such truth, reading it regularly and letting it distill into our minds and hearts. And as we look further into this subject tonight, I pray that the Lord would encourage your heart. I want to welcome you all this evening to our service. We're very happy that you're here with us in the meeting tonight, whether for the first time or you've come back to visit with us. We're very, very pleased that you're here. And if you're visiting our service online tonight, then you are also very welcome. And we often say, please send us a note via the email that will come up on the screen sometime through the service, and that we would be able to pray with you or for you and just have a record of your stay with us tonight. That would be a great encouragement. Remember, please, those that have recently lost loved ones. We were thinking this morning of Tabitha, who had to return suddenly home to India and the loss of her dear mother. Thankfully, her mother knew the Lord. She was 62 years old, so not that old. She suffered from a severe stroke and heart attack and passed away. We are hoping that Tabitha will be able to come back here. She's studying here at the moment, the student visa, and will be away for a couple of months anyways. But she wanted to be remembered to the congregation and thank everyone for your prayers for her at this time. She senses, she knows the strength of the Lord upon her at this moment. And again, we remember our sister Joan in prayer of the shocking and sudden loss of her nephew, who was found that he had passed away in his apartment, and it was a very great shock to the family. So do remember, Joan, we're thinking about you at this time, and remember the family as well. And of course, our many others who need our prayers, either have lost loved ones recently or who are sick and set aside, that you would be undergirt and know the prayers of God's people for you. Now, last Wednesday, we had a great blessing of having our annual general meeting, and we heard the reports of how the Lord has helped us and has blessed us and by his grace used us from 2023 in that year. And we heard several different reports. We're thankful to God for all of those things. And humbly I say, thankful to you for your faithful tithing, your faithful giving to the work of God here, and the other many practical ways in which you serve the Lord. It's very special, and I'm very appreciative and thankful to the Lord for you all. And so please continue on in your service and work for the Savior. I was praying just an opening prayer about Whitfield, our school, and we had a report on just how things have been going this past year. The Lord has been encouraging and blessing. And I shared just, and I'll do it so in passing tonight, a former student came into the school just this past week, and it was 20 years ago when he was in the school and graduated, and he shared just a few thoughts. He was thankful to the Lord and said, if I can do anything to help in the school, I'm willing to do that. He's in between jobs just at the moment, but he said Whitfield really changed his life. It changed his direction, and the Lord's grace was upon him. And that was a great blessing to hear of that. So let's continue to pray that the Lord will do and continue to do that through the ministry that he has given to us at Whitfield. So we're thinking about, that's right, we're thinking about the annual general meeting last Wednesday. I wanted to mention this, and especially a word of congratulations to Mr. Maher Lewis, as he was chosen by the congregation to serve in the capacity of being an elder, and that has to go to the presbytery for ratification, and then we will set an ordination date. But it was a great blessing. An overwhelming majority, over 90% of people who voted for him to serve in the capacity of being an elder. And so that's a great vote of confidence. And we pray and ask you to pray for our brother Lewis as he prepares himself now spiritually and mentally and emotionally for serving in this capacity. Let me ask you to remember a couple of things right after our service tonight. There will be a choir practice, a youth, young adult choir practice, and then also there will be a meeting of those involved in our hospitality teams. And that's for those who are currently serving or others who would like to get involved and help and serve in that way. Then you make your way after the service out to the fellowship room here on your right hand down the hallway and enjoy that time of serving in that practical way if you are at all able to do that. Please remember our services this Wednesday evening, our Bible study and prayer time at 7:30, and Reverend Kim will be bringing the message this Wednesday evening, and I know our brother would appreciate your prayers for that. And then next Lord's Day morning, which is Mother's Day, by the way, for a bit of information, Brother Cranston, Lord willing, retired pastor from Port Hope, he'll be the minister in the morning service. And then in the evening, Elder Mr. Jonathan McAnally will be bringing the message along with some of the young adults participating. And so please pray for those messages and those services. Thankful for your praying for the work in Mexico and for the responsibilities of being moderator and going there for the ordination of three men to that work. Do remember Reverend Jason Boyle also in your prayers and the other brethren, Lalo Pena in Cordoba and also not in Mexico per se, but Dominican Republic and Ramon Sosa and the work that he is doing there. Remembering all of our missionaries, let's not forget them. We want to hold them up before the Lord that God will richly and mightily bless them. Keep in your calendar a couple of dates in advance for June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We're going to be having a half week of prayer, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And on Wednesday evening, another special opportunity for a baptismal service. And so please, if the Lord has been speaking to your heart regarding following the Lord in baptism, then you reach out and speak to me. And we will put that on the schedule, and this is a very important time. Now, you've seen our library table out there. It's a sign out. If you want to take one of the books, just please fill out your name and take that and enjoy that reading for children and also for adults. And then on June the 15th, which is a Saturday, the upcoming annual Highland Creek Festival Outreach. And Brother Kingsley Jew is in charge of that, and he heads up that work. And it's always a good opportunity to get the gospel out to the community around that area. Those are all the ministry announcements that we have. We're going to sing again in our worship of the Lord, number 75, The Love of God. And what I'm going to ask us to do is just remain seated. And for the first two verses, we'll have the instruments play through, and then we will stand to sing these three verses. Now we're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 3, and you will recognize the well-known words of verse 3. And certainly if you were here in the morning service, I quoted these words from Frederick Lehman, the author of this hymn, and they are special as he has endeavored to paint a picture with words of the extent of the love of God and how we are so limited in our ability to express that. Verses 1 and 3. Turn, please, now to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, for whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we pray now, as the word is open, that we would be settled and still and not distracted with thoughts that come into our mind of other issues of last week or of the week in front of us. We pray, Lord, that now we will give our heart and minds full attention to the Scripture. And I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would write these things upon every believer's heart, and that our understanding would be expanded, and our grasp of this truth would be tightened. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Give me strength, I ask, the power of the Holy Spirit to speak the word clearly and simply, so that no one would misunderstand. Lord, bring the truth home to every single heart. Hear us now, I pray, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. The opening verse of 1 John chapter 3 is what we have been thinking about this morning and tonight. And it is to behold the manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. God has certainly endued human beings with a capacity to love, which is distinct and different from the animal kingdom, which operates out of instinct, programmed into them by the Creator. And yet the Lord has used and made us differently, because we are not animals in the sense that we have a soul, we have a spirit, we are self-knowing. We know that we are human beings, we know that we are men or women, depending as God has made us, of those two distinct genders in our capacity as human beings. And he has made us, though, spiritual beings, which really distinguishes us from the animal kingdom altogether. And in that sense, we are made in the image of God. We are spiritual beings in that when we were brought into this world, our spirit and our soul will never be extinguished. Now we know that the Lord has told us that for those who have received Christ, there will be heaven and glory and an eternal life to look forward to. And he has also said that those who have rejected Christ will be separated from him forever. As a matter of fact, John 3, as we read this morning in the gospel, says that we as mankind are already under condemnation because of our sinfulness, being born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so that is a state that every human being is born in, under condemnation. Now, when the Lord saves a soul, he takes us out of that state and he places us in the state of justification, in the state of righteousness, in the state of that fellowship with him. God has given to us the capacity to love, the understanding of that, And it is communicated through language. It's communicated through our human relationships. And we know that there are different kinds of love. There are different ways that we have capacity to understand and express that. And it all can be summed up in the fact that God, who has created us, is defined as the God of love. God is love. And therefore, this highest principle, and don't miss out on this, this is the highest principle and the highest affection and the highest action that we as human beings are allowed to be part of. Because outside of God, a human being cannot know the truth and the depth and the height of what real love is. The reality of the world is that there is an overriding lack of love that defines society. It is at the root of all unrest, of all disorder, of all crime of every dimension, including the most heinous crime of murder. When Cain murdered his brother, he was expressing the ultimate extent of hatred, both against his brother, but ultimately against God. When Cain struck out at his brother, he was striking out at God. He was expressing the depravity of his own human heart. And when crime and disorder in our broken and twisted society comes to the surface over and over again, it is only an expression of the depravity of the human heart that is controlled and motivated and going forward by hatred against the Lord and against all other society. It is the root problem. It is sin. And the world refuses to accept that. As a matter of fact, whenever there is a defining of the problem and a seeking for a solution, what is the answer? Well, generally it is deemed more education. Most of the times it will be some further institution or social reprogramming to correct the problem. Building bigger and more penitentiaries. But the failure to recognize the root of the problem, which is sin, and the only remedy for that, which is Christ, well, their eyes are blinded to that. They refuse to see it. In a radio interview I heard yesterday in the car, they were dealing with the subject of depression and the general tenor of unhappiness in society. That's not something that is a new light for any of us to see. You look around us, there is so much anxiety, so much worry. So many folks are overwhelmed with a sense of what is happening in the world, the craziness that's going on. And it leads people to the point of despair. But the psychologist that was being interviewed said, well, the answer is that you need to train yourself with happy thoughts. That's the answer to this problem. And you need to avoid bad energy. So happy thoughts and avoiding bad energy, and that's going to be the thing, the ticket that's going to help you sail through life. How foolish. How foolish to try and put a Band-Aid, and it's a very weak Band-Aid because it's broken. It doesn't even cover the sore. It doesn't cover the wound. And it's a band-aid that will not answer the deep-rooted problem that's in society and in the heart of man, because man is crying out for an answer. Why am I so distressed? Why is society going in the way it is? The great commandment that Jesus answered when he was questioned or interrogated. He said the greatest commandment is that we are to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds and all of our strength. But the person who asked the question, the Pharisee, was not expecting the second part of the answer. And Jesus said the second is like unto the first one, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. You see, because we cannot fulfill the second commandment until we have grabbed hold of and grasped the first commandment. And this is what John is getting at here in his epistle. What we have read in chapter 4, what we are thinking about in the opening verse of chapter 3, the great commandment, as Jesus said, when these two are placed together in life, they summarize, they encompass, they take in all of the law and the prophets. You stop for a moment and think about what the Lord Jesus said. Because you will remember that when he spoke to the two on the road to Emmaus, he said that as he expounded to them of himself out of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. So therefore, the summary of all of the Old Testament scriptures, the new had not been written at that time, was to understand the centrality of Christ in the Word. But now we find that the Lord is saying that the fulfilling of all the commandments, the greatest commandment and the second commandment, is that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And I say to you tonight that you cannot fulfill those commandments until, first of all, you have grappled with the truth that Christ is the central message of all of the Bible. And that once we have him in our heart and life, once we have received him, then we can begin. We can scratch the surface of what it means to love God with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, and begin to love others around us. So dear friends, as we continue in our thinking today on this great text of Scripture, which I feel in my heart so limited to be able to expound on its truth, it is one of the great behold texts of the Bible, one of the great markers that the Lord is saying to us, I want your attention. I want you to look at this. And I want you not just to pass by it and read it as if you've memorized it before, but we have to allow the Holy Spirit to write it on our minds and impress it on our hearts, because this love is unfathomable to us. We cannot comprehend the depth of it. Behold, what manner of love. It deserves our earnest consideration. We thought of this morning. Our earnest consideration will be to receive the gift of the love of God to us, and that is salvation, because it is our Lord Jesus. And it is for us to delight in God's love in us and for us. And it is to pray for its reality in our souls every day, that we awake from our bed and we put our feet upon the floor and we prepare ourselves for the day. Let the love of God be that light that is overarching all that we do. And I say to you tonight, I need help in this. And you need help in this. Because of ourselves, we cannot comprehend it. But I say to you the reality of it, and to share with others such undeserved love is going to be the thing that marks our life as distinct and different from the world. It's going to set us apart. It's going to allow a very troubled and broken world to look at the life of the Christians from this congregation as we embrace this truth and say, Lord, help me to reflect its beauty. Because when we reflect the beauty of the love that's being spoken about here, to behold what manner of love, it is going to be to reflect the beauty of our Lord Jesus. And the more we do that, the more the world will see, it's not just having a few happy thoughts that's going to fix your situation in this world, or just withdraw yourself from some bad energy. That's yoga. That's the teaching of yoga and the positive thinking stuff. Don't go down that road, because that's going to steer people far away from the truth. And it's going to give them false security. Came across another interview recently, just come to my mind now, about a lady who was in one of the two towers on 9/11. And she was up in the 96th floor of the Tower 2. Tower 1 had been hit. And so she says, just by her chance, got down the elevator and made it out just a moment before the second tower was struck with the plane. And anyways, the disillusion that she had, her whole mind and life was upside down. She didn't know where she was. But she says her answer for her life has been yoga. It's been positive thinking. That's got her through. And you see, the devil does that in people's lives. He presents these things as being an answer. It's being an answer instead of seeking for the Lord and seeking for help and answers in the Word of God, where the only real answers are. The devil gives a few false props here and there in life. And it seems to get people through, and they seem to manage somewhat. My friend, this love being spoken about here, it deserves our earnest consideration. It deserves a very careful calculation. What kind is it? The manner of it? It deserves very wide communication, because it is Calvary's love, because it is Christ's sacrificial love that we are talking about here. We also noted this morning that this love has been freely given to us from the council of eternity in God's foreordination, in God's sovereign electing purpose and plan in our lives. It was sealed in time on the cross, and it can never be reversed and never be removed from us. Are we blessed? Is there ever a reason for us to be depressed in our life? Pastor Ron Bean used to say, I'm too blessed to be depressed. And that's not bad theology to think about. But we must move on tonight. And I want you to notice, please, if you come back to our text of Scripture, here is a love that is secured by relationship. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Here is a love secured by being brought into a living relationship with our God and Father. And it is through our Lord Jesus that this is brought to us. At one time, we have it reminded to us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were children of wrath, even as others. Children of wrath, not sons of God, because born into this world in our natural state, we are not sons of God. We are sons of Satan in that sense. We are children of wrath. And it means that being born in that state outside of God's grace and not in connection to Him, we have a great problem that unless it is rectified, it will be our eternal destruction and damnation. Having this relationship through Christ Jesus, it means that we have connection with God. We are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this unification with our Lord, being brought into the family of God, we are now connected and joined to Him. And our Savior used the well-known illustration in John 15 of the vine and the branches. And so when we, by God's grace, have been saved and brought into Christ the vine, we are now in a union with Him that cannot be dissolved. Because we're not saved one day. We're not like connected to God and then we do something wrong and we're disconnected with God, out of fellowship. That is the teaching of Arminianism, that you can be saved one day and you can be lost the next day. And it's kind of like a merry-go-round and you're hoping that when it comes to the day of your death and the music stops, you're hoping you have a seat to sit on, you're hoping you're on one of those horses and you haven't had to get off. But that's not what salvation is. The relationship that God has given to us through our Lord Jesus is that we now have a connection that is indissoluble. It cannot be removed. Jesus said, "Those who are held in the hand of our Heavenly Father, no man, no power, no force can take us out." Christian, we are safe and secure in the arms of our Father in heaven. Indeed, we are in the everlasting arms of the eternal God. And you think that's just New Testament theology? Oh no, that's Old Testament theology, because that's what Moses said in Deuteronomy 33. He said, "Underneath us, embracing us are the everlasting arms of the eternal God." So it means that we have connection. But this relationship, it means that we have belonging. We are part of His family. We now bear the name of Jesus Christ upon our soul and spirit. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And so that means I have belonging. That means I have an association. It means I have fellowship. It means that when the roster is read out and the roll is called out, and will my name be on that roll? The old hymn writer wrote, "When the roll is called up yonder, I will be there." But how will that be? The only reason is because I am connected and I have belonging with my God in glory. Friend, I ask you tonight, are you saved? Do you know Christ? Do you possess this relationship with Him? Because if you have not been saved, you are under condemnation now. And if you are to die tonight, you are lost forever. There is no hope. Ah, dear friends, I trust and pray that the Holy Spirit would bring this to your heart. But in this securing of this love relationship that we have, being called the sons of God, yes, connection and belonging. But you know what else we have here? There is heritage. We now have a history we look back on. Some people like to look up their genealogies, and they go to certain sites that seem to have been able to dig up all of the records of deaths and births and so on, and like to trace back their history. It's amusing to do that. Well, it might be to a point, until you find out some of your heritage is not so pure and not so nice. And you may go, I think I'll stop there. That person was in prison. That person went to jail. That person was arrested for who knows what. And you don't want to go back any further. But praise the Lord, tonight we have a heritage in the gospel of Christ. And that heritage, that connection is a genealogy. And I don't need to go back any further than my Lord. My connection is to Him. And since my connection is to Him, it is a most blessed and glorious heritage of the sons and daughters of God. You are rich tonight because it also means we have an inheritance. And the apostle in Romans 8 speaks it very clearly, that because we are in Christ Jesus, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so it means, friends, that all that God the Father has put toward His Son, all the wealth and heritage of eternity and of glory and honor, it belongs to me tonight. You might have an RRSP. You might have a safe deposit box. You can't put too much trust in all those things, though investment is not a bad thing. But friends, our heritage is an everlasting one, where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. But we must move on. The fourth point of the entire message for us is a love that is impossible to be improved upon. Well, I've gone outside of our text a little bit for this, simply to say we have the text, God so loved the world. Now, we read that this morning in John Gospel chapter 3. And when I say we've gone outside of the text, it really is not outside of the text when you consider it. The love that we have received from the Father, it is impossible for it to be improved upon. Now, it is likely that our human love in relationship is at times in need of some improvement. And if you're in any doubt about that whatsoever, husbands, just ask your wives, is there any area, dear, that I need to improve my love toward you? And you might find the answer comes back. In fact, you might be sure you asked the question. It might come back to you and you might hear many things on the list of things of how we need to improve upon. It might be a little bit like, well, doing a bit of body work on the old vehicle. And when you get the grinder out and you start taking out the spot, you find that there's a lot more rust in this car than I thought there was. And as you keep grinding, you find there's no metal left. All the rust and metal is gone. It's finished. Well, sometimes that might be the way in our human relationships. Our love, we have to admit, is defective. And it seems so often low. And if we are honest, we'll admit that there is much need for improvement. But not so with the Lord toward us. For His love is perfect. His love cannot be improved upon. To see the perfection of it, you will only simply look to Calvary. And you will see there the full depiction, the full description of the love of God toward us. It can't be improved upon. For God so loved the world that He gave. And when we consider it and think that God could not have given to us any more than He gave when He gave His Son. For He gave His everything, His all. And you think about what He has given to us in the benefit of salvation, of everlasting life, to live with Him in glory, that we will be perfected in Him. Is there anything more or greater that He could give to us? No, friends. God's love to His people cannot be improved. And for this, we will be forever and eternally grateful, and we will praise Him. And if there's no other purpose that we will have in glory but to thank God for His love toward us, that will be an eternity worth of praise. But I close this one final thought tonight. It is a love not known by the world. Beloved, now, or rather, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. So the world knows many things in their understanding, but the world does not know the Lord. And because they don't know Him, they do not know His love. But we know His love, and it has been revealed to us. And so tonight, we are a blessed people. Now, we have been commanded to take the love of God and to live it out, to speak about it and communicate the message of Calvary's love. And when we approach someone or we endeavor to speak to them and they do not hear our words, we must continue by our life to live out that message of the love of God to a lost world. And so when we think about God's love being great and vast and immeasurable, and that He so loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, He gave His Son so that salvation would be brought to a sinful world. But as we go and speak His word, friends, do not be surprised when our message and our life and our purpose is rejected. Because Christ Jesus said to His disciples, "They have not rejected you, they have rejected Me." Or both in the rejection of the Savior, the apostles will also be rejected. And if they call the master of the house the devil, Beelzebub, well, what will they not say of His servants? So therefore, friends, don't be alarmed, don't be troubled, don't be all flustered when the world rejects us, but expect that rejection, because they have rejected your Lord, and they will reject His people. Therefore, let us not be discouraged in speaking the message and the word of truth, Because as God delights to use his people as lights in a dark place, as signposts to point to Calvary, he will make use of you. He will make use of us for the extension of his kingdom. And he will make use of us to share of his great love. We'll close our service by singing a hymn. Number 278. O Savior, as my eyes behold the wonders of thy might untold, the heavens in glorious light arrayed, the vast creation thou hast made, and yet to think thou lovest me, my heart cries out, how can it be? Let's stand and we'll sing these three verses prayerfully to the Lord. Father, as we bring our service to a close tonight, our prayer that our hearts will be understanding more and more of the depth and the wonder and the greatness of your love to us. We know, Lord, we're so unworthy. And yet, it is by sovereign grace that we have been brought to taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, our prayer is that you would open the hearts of those who are still in the darkness of their sin, open their eyes to see the light of the beauty of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, Father, part us now in your fear and with your rich and mighty blessing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.